A couple of weeks ago, we started a series of lessons on giving, and this morning, we really kind of get into this morning's lesson, next week's lesson, kind of the nuts and bolts of where we are as Christians, as New Testament Christians, on that particular command, and also the examples that we see of giving in the New Testament church. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, it says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." We know that the Bible teaches us that we are to give as we purpose and prosper. You hear that a lot whenever someone goes to describe giving. How are we supposed to give as a New Testament Christian? And almost everyone can reply, we give as we purpose and as we prosper. But you know, as I have told people that over the years, certainly with younger families, new Christians, the question always comes up, how much is that exactly? You know, what are we talking about money-wise, percentage-wise? And, you know, I've even asked preachers and teachers and elders over the years, I especially remember whenever I was a younger preacher, you know, what do I give them as a response to that? And you know what? There wasn't a lot of people that had a whole lot of answers to that. You know, they might give me a few examples of giving in the New Testament, but for the most part, we don't have a good answer or reply to that. And yet, I think that the Bible does give us at least somewhere to start. And we're going to discuss that as we go along in the lesson this morning. We examine this a little bit closer because I think it's important. You know, you're not telling anybody anything if you tell them, well, you should give as you purpose and prosper, especially someone that doesn't quite understand how much that might be to them. So we started last week in looking at the Old Testament way of giving and some of the standards, some of the laws that were given under the Old Testament, some of the examples that even transpired before the giving of the old law, such as in the case of Abraham. And so we'll kind of want to lean on a little bit of that as we go along. But when you take a look at the word purpose, the word purpose as defined by Webster's dictionary today is to set as an aim, an intention, or a goal for oneself. So as we give, as we purpose, we are setting a goal. We are deciding how much we are going to give, and we are going to try to reach that goal every time that we give. But let me ask you this. So is giving as we purpose really to be interpreted, give what we want to? Because I've actually had people describe it that way. Just give what you want to. And I don't think that that's an accurate description of what the New Testament requires of us at all as Christians. It's not about giving what we want to. Because it might be that we might give what we want to, but fall very short of giving what we should be giving. And we're going to notice that as we go along. But that's a good place for us to start. Is giving as we purpose really to be interpreted to give as we want to? Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 through 2. And Don was alluding to this just a little while ago. It says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." Second part of this we're going to discuss next week in giving as we prosper. But here is the command. And we've got a lot of examples of this command of the early Christians in the New Testament giving in their lives. So we know that it is not just a command, but also something that was regularly practiced by the early Christians. But here's a command that's given to us. And there's a couple of things that I want to say about this. One is, sometimes we hear the expression, whenever we get to, after we partake of the Lord's Supper, and the Lord's Supper's out of the way, whenever it comes to time for contribution, sometimes we hear the expression, now we are going to do something as the elders have appointed this time for us to give. Brothers and sisters, I want to correct us on something. The elders do not appoint a time for us to give. The Holy Spirit, by inspiration of men, such as Paul in this particular scripture, has given us a command to give. And when we come together on the first day of the week, we do so to lay by in store just as the Holy Spirit commands of us to do, and just as all of the early Christians did by example. So it's not by initiation of men that we give. It is by initiation of God Himself, as the Holy Spirit directed Paul and others to give this command, and also inspired early Christians to do so. So I think that's very important, and I want to get that out of the way at the very beginning of this. But as we take a look at this, this is the command to give. And so it is that as we are commanded to give, then we have to ask ourselves the question, how much? How much are we? Because we're not necessarily told, other than as we prosper here. But of course, the thoughts that we're trying to get across this morning and comment on is how much is as we purpose, as we read about in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. In order for us to answer the question, is giving as we purpose really to be interpreted, give however much you want? Well, in Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 11, we're told about an occasion of giving. And in that occasion of giving, there were two particular characters, Ananias and Sapphira, who had apparently purposed in their hearts to give the amount of a land sale. And this is one of the things that I'll make mention of later, but there were a lot of examples of giving in the early church. And one of the things that they did was they would sell of their possessions in order to give to a particular time or a particular event or a particular purpose that was going on within the church. And Ananias and Sapphira had decided to do that. But whenever it came time for them to give as they had purposed in their heart, they decided to hold some back from what they had purposed. And you know what? We can hide our intentions of giving from people, but we can't hide that from the Lord. Whenever He tells us to give as we purpose and prosper, giving's important to the Lord. Giving's important to us from the Lord, right? I mean, we want God to give graciously, generously to us. We pray for His giving. We pray for His blessings. We're thankful for those blessings. Well, don't you think that it's also important to God that whenever He commands that we give, that we do so? Just as He has asked us to do so. So it was for Ananias and Sapphira in that they had purposed to give the amount of the sale of that land. But I want us to read in Acts chapter 5, verse 1 through 5, what it took place. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? And here's the indication that they had purposed in their heart to give all of the proceeds of the land sale to the church. But when the time came, they held back. While it remained, was it not your own? Paul asked, or Peter asked. And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And not only did Ananias suffer the same consequence, but whenever Sapphira came in and lied for her husband, she also fell dead at their feet. Now, when we take a look at the example of what this particular event is trying to tell us, let's ask the question, was God pleased that they gave what they wanted to give? Because what they had purposed to give was not what they gave. What they gave was what they wanted to give, not what they purposed to give. Understand the difference here? And God wasn't pleased with just what they wanted to give, because what they wanted to give was less than what they had purposed. Now, I don't think God would have been upset if they would have given more than what they had purposed. But they, in their hearts, gave less than what they had purposed because that's what they wanted to do. And then they came to the church and they lied about the amount that they had received from the land sales. So I think that it's important for us to know it's not giving as we purpose is not about giving what we want to give. It's about giving as we purpose to give, as we set a goal to do. And again, we'll get to a little bit more of an understanding of what that is, but it's going to be different for everybody, right? Because not everybody has the same income. Not everybody has the same situations in life. What you decide to purpose to give may not be the exact same amount that I decide to purpose to give. It may depend upon our incomes and the situations within our life. But we do need to purpose to give a certain amount each week, or as some give in setting some aside at the beginning of the month, and there's nothing wrong with that either, but that we set aside a certain amount and we try to maintain that goal, if not exceed it, within our lives. Does giving as we purpose mean to contribute to the Lord what is left over at the end of the week? That's a good question. Because certainly as we take a look at life, you know, sometimes there's things we want to do. Sometimes there's situations that come up. Are we maintaining a goal? Or are we simply just giving to God what's left over after we do everything that we want to do? Remember the definition again. To set as an aim, intention, or goal. That's what purpose means. Whenever I was preaching at Arnett, back in the 90s, there was a Christian sister of mine. In fact, she was here last year around this time. Her and her family came. I don't know if y'all got to meet her. But she was teaching a class of toddlers. And, you know, they were all around 3 or 4 years old. There was three of them in class. They're all grown up in college now. But she was teaching them about giving. And she was trying to explain what happens. She wanted them to try to understand what it is Mama and Daddy are doing whenever the collection plate is passed around and they give money in there. And she was doing a really great job of explaining it, using scriptures and examples and different things. And what she decided to do was she decided to try to teach by application. And so she gave each one of her students 50 cents, 2 quarters apiece. And she says, what we're going to do is we're going to practice giving just like Mama and Daddy do. She says, now I want you to know, those quarters are yours. You decide what you want to do with those quarters as we pass this basket around. And we'll take whatever you give and we'll go buy some food with it to give to those who are in need. Okay? So she passes the basket to the first little toddler. He was a boy. And she says, "What do you think God would want you to do with what you have there?" He puts his two quarters in the collection, or in the basket. And he says, "I think God would have me to give my two quarters." And so she passes it to the little girl. And a little girl, her name was Blake. Blake puts her two quarters in. And she says, "I think God would have me to give both of my quarters to him." And she says, all the while, there's a little boy named Trevor sitting there. And she says she could just see Trevor was really thinking hard on this situation. And so she goes, it was time to pass the basket to Trevor. And she says, "Trevor, what are you going to do with your two quarters?" And he looked up at her and he said, "I think God would like me to have a Dr. Pepper." And that's a true story. It happened just like that. But you know, sometimes when we think of giving as we purpose, to some that means to give what is left over after we have done everything we want to do with our money, including entertainment and activities and all of that sort. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, Jesus says this, and I think that this is a priority in everything that has to do with our service to God, including giving. He says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And it just so happens that he follows this particular commandment up after talking about all the things that God blesses us with in life. But you see, the priority is there that whenever it comes to serving the Lord, when it comes to serving in the kingdom needs to come first. God needs to come first. Jesus Christ needs to come first. And even in our lives, in our everyday lives, you know, again, we've got bills to pay. We all understand that. We have things set aside that a portion of our money and our paychecks have to go towards in order for us to get by in life. But we are also a blessed people that sometimes, you know, we get to eat out a lot. We get to go and do a lot of recreational things and entertainment things that we set money aside for as well. Whenever we get to the point to where those things are becoming more prevalent than the money that we're given to the Lord, we might need to back up and rethink the situation a little bit. We need to have a goal to make sure that what we purpose in our heart is being played out in just that way, in just the aim and just the goal and just the amount that we have deemed that is fit and given to the Lord on a weekly basis. Not just giving what's left over after we get through with the way we want to spend the money. We need to be careful not to show God that we intend to take care of self first and Him second, or even further down our list of priorities. Giving means something to God. In Haggai, if you ever read the book of the minor prophet Haggai, Haggai was a prophet who, whenever the people came back from their captivity in Babylon, they were sent back to build the temple. And they came back and they got all excited about building on it, you know, and they got a few things done with it. And they had a big celebration. Look at what we're doing. And then before they got the temple built, which was the main purpose for them coming back, before they got it completely built, they started building their own homes. They started building their own kingdoms, so to speak. And they forgot all about the work that they had come back to do. So Haggai and some of the other prophets that were around during that time, he tried to remind them and he tried to show them that, hey, if you don't do what you intended to do and what you came back to do for the Lord, things aren't going to go well. And so in chapter 1, verse 6 of the book of Haggai, he tells them, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. If you ever read the encounter and event of that occasion, you know, the people were being hassled by people, some of the natives of the area who didn't go into captivity. Things weren't always good. And one of the reasons why things were not always good is because God quit blessing them. Because they were not blessing God. They had not come back to do and complete what they intended to do for the Lord. We have to be careful that we put God's kingdom first, and that includes our giving. For as we read last week in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 8, it says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now, you know as well as I do that there are a lot of these so-called prosperity TV evangelists who like to take this scripture and a couple of other scriptures out of the New Testament and make them the most important scriptures in the Bible, because that's all they preach about. It's all they talk about. That if you will give, so that I can afford a couple of $1 million mansion and several Cadillacs out in the driveway, then you're going to prosper as well. You know what? The Bible doesn't read that way. The Bible says that if we will sow abundantly, we will reap abundantly. And sometimes that does mean physically. Seen it happen to a lot of people's lives. And let's face it, it's happening to our lives too. Because are we missing meals? Do we have a roof over our heads? Do we have clothes on our backs? How did you get here this morning? Did you have a vehicle to drive, or did someone come by and pick you up? You know, we're reaping bountifully. God is blessing us richly. We are in the top 2 or 3% of the whole world, folks. We're those people. And so it is that certainly happens. But I think it's interesting that whatever you follow and you look at that last verse, talks about grace. And I think that this is something that these so-called TV evangelists and these prosperity preachers, they miss out on. It's not all about the material. Because if you make it material, then you leave the spiritual out. But the fact is, God has blessed us spiritually and will continue to bless us spiritually for the rest of the ages, for the rest of eternity. Is it more important to be blessed physically or spiritually? Spiritual, isn't it? Because let's face it, we can be, as Christ says, you know, we could go and gain the whole world, but lose our souls. And what good will that be whenever we're suffering in hell for the rest of eternity? So what if we had this big mansion? So what if we had all these luxurious vehicles to drive? So what if we had money to travel and go and blow everywhere that we wanted to go? What good is that going to do us if we spend the rest of eternity in hell? The spiritual blessings are always greater than the material blessings. But you know what? Got a lot of people that struggle with that notion, don't we? And sometimes we've even struggled with that notion. Sometimes it's one of Satan's greatest temptations to us, is to struggle between the balance of spiritual and material. Does give as we purpose mean giving less than 10% of our income? Here's where we kind of break it down before we go into next week's lesson. Because like I said, I've had to visit with folks who, you know, they want an amount. They don't understand the concept of purpose, and because they haven't researched the Bible enough to really come to a conclusion on that. And so what I'm going to give to you this morning is a ballpark figure of where we can start with giving as we purpose. Okay? It's not going to fit everybody this morning, because there are some who absolutely just aren't even able to give this amount. And then there are some who are able to give much more than this amount. But I think that it's interesting, and there's a gentleman that has passed away, preached for I don't know how many years. I bet it was probably 50 or 60 years. But Ed and Merlene knows him. But his name was Ardren Hinton. And Ardren Hinton preached in southwestern Oklahoma most all of his life. And he was a very wise man. And I remember visiting with him and Ed whenever I was at Altus, and we'd sit in Ed's office and we'd visit about various things. And I remember Ardren speaking up one time and saying, he said he'd always found it interesting that we convert people from denominational backgrounds into the Lord's church. They had been taught to tithe. We teach them to give as they purpose, and they quit tithing. In other words, we make lousy givers of them. That's what he used to say. And you know what? You think about that concept, it's kind of right. Last week, we looked at just how much it was. Under the old law system, how much those under the old covenant were required to give by God. And we looked at figures between 20 and 30% of their annual income. But for some reason, we will say all tithing's wrong. Where do we ever read that? 10%, that's wrong. That's denominational teaching. It's not denominational teaching. It's Old Testament teaching. And why do we have the Old Testament? But to serve as an example of things for us today, to lead us towards Jesus Christ, but also to teach us some things about what God appreciates and what He doesn't appreciate. I think 10% is a great place for us to start. If we're wondering just how much we need to be giving, 10% is a great place to start. And for some, that needs to be even more, depending on, like we're going to talk about next week, how we prosper. And for some whose situations in life are more demanding because they haven't prospered well, it may be less than that. But if I have to help somebody understand a percentage, I can go back to the Old Testament and I can see what Abraham gave to Melchizedek. And I can look at just the very initial substance of what everyone was required to give at the very first as a foundation of giving, and it was 10%. And I think that's a good place to start. Where are we in our giving? Where are you in your giving? I know where I am in my giving. And I think that there are probably most every one of us could be given at least 10%. And some of us probably need to give more than that. But it gives us a place to start. And to me, it kind of puts a little meat and substance to the word purpose. Because we do have biblical examples of doing that. The Pharisees were meticulous in their giving. And they were meticulous in the teaching of their giving. You know what Christ said to us about the Pharisees? He said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, that we need to exceed them in righteousness. Now think about that for a moment. If they were meticulous in their Old Testament practices of giving, and they were meticulous in the system of tithing, and they were meticulous in the teaching of those things, and Christ tells us to exceed their righteousness, would we be wrong to be given at least a 10% of what we make, if not more? The attitude and the acts of the giving of the early Christians. Do you remember in the book of Acts, the very first few chapters, especially chapter 1 and several chapters following it, you had a group of people who had just become Christians. The church had just began. And you know, they were doing something and practicing something that I'm ashamed to say would make a lot of farmers and ranchers in northwestern Oklahoma just almost swallow their tongues. They were selling their land and giving to those in need. Can you imagine that? You know, we get pretty possessive of our possessions, don't we? I wonder today, if it came down to a situation, maybe the economy of the United States just dropped out of the bottom, money was worth nothing anymore. I wonder if we would give of our possessions to help our brothers and sisters in need. You know, it's kind of easy to say and do while we've got the money. It's kind of easy to say and do whatever we kind of pull our funds in that direction. But these were Christians that were individually probably given a lot more than 30% of what they had, so that the Lord's church could meet its needs, so that people could be provided for that were now, who once were not family, but now were brothers and sisters of a higher purpose. Giving's a challenging subject, isn't it? And I think that as Christians, if we're going to take a realistic viewpoint, we need to understand the importance of realizing that giving is important to God. And I've already started out this series by mentioning this, and I know that the elders here a few weeks back in the congregational meeting talked about this. This is a giving congregation. You've done a great job. Take your arm right now, if you're limber enough, pat yourself on the back. You're doing a great job in your giving. This congregation gives per person probably more than a lot of congregations this size. That's a known fact. But it's not all about what we're doing now. Sometimes it's about challenging ourselves to look at ourselves personally and say, am I truly giving? Is my purpose, my aim, my goal, is it right where it needs to be? Or could it be raised to a little higher standard and still not hurt me very much? It's a challenge. That's what giving is. It's a challenge. And every single one of us has to decide what's best. What's the best goal? I can't tell you what that is for you, but I know what it is for me. You have to come to your own decision. But, as the lesson will do, in any lesson that any preacher teaches on giving, that's the reason why congregations hate it whenever the preacher preaches on giving, it should challenge us to look at our lives and see if we can be given more. Because there's always higher needs. We'd like to support more mission work. We'd like to be able to give more in that particular area. We could always use more. Every congregation can. But maybe we're right where we have to be. Maybe we're right where we need to be. Or maybe we can give more. That's only a question that you can answer. It's only a situation that you can decide. And so it is. That lesson's yours. Next week we'll look at giving as we prosper. But if you're here this morning and you have not obeyed the gospel, the plan of salvation that God sets forth is also patterned by example, by inference, and by command in the New Testament. And it's very simple. We need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We need to be willing to confess that before others. We need to repent of our sins. And we need to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. And it all starts from there. That's just one step. It's an important step, maybe the most important step, but it doesn't stop there. Our responsibility to the kingdom of God continues for the rest of our life as long as we breathe. And if you're here this morning and you'd like to be part of the kingdom, you can do so in just that manner. And we stand ready to assist you if you'll but come. All together we stand and sing.